Welcome to Deed and B College. Today we're building a subway to Amen Variation Blueprint enabled in Lev 12 using resampling as the main workflow. And this is a really powerful approach, because instead of endlessly tweaking a bass sound forever, you commit to a strong idea, print it to audio, and then turn that print into movement, tension, and arrangement power. In drum and bass, that matters a lot. A bass line can be heavy in solo and still fail in the drop, or it can sound simple on its own and absolutely destroy once it's locked to the drums. So the goal here is not just sound design, the goal is musical control. We want a bass that can hold weight, evolve over time, and stay mix stable when the room is loud. The kick is punching, and the snare has to stay clear. Let's start with the mindset. The first move is to build a brutally simple two-bar bass phrase. Keep it playing. Seriously. One or two notes around the root and fifth is enough to begin with. Use a stock instrument like Wavetable, Operator, or Analog. Keep the notes short and leave space. In drum and bass, silence is part of the groove. If the bass never gets out of the way, the drums lose impact. A good first phrase usually has a root hit, a reply hit, and then a small gap. Maybe the bass lands on beat one, answers on an off beat, and then leaves room for the snare to speak. That call and response feeling is what gives the phrase identity. You're not writing a melody in the usual sense. You're writing low-end punctuation. Why this works in DNB is pretty simple. The low end gets heavier when it has contrast. Repetition alone doesn't create weight. Repetition plus space does. The kick says one thing, the snare says another, and the bass has to know when to enter and when to back off. Now shape the tone before you resample. Don't try to finish the whole mix yet. You just want a strong raw character. A solid starter chain is your synth, then saturator, then EQ8, and if needed drum bus or glue compressor. Keep the sub focused, ideally built from a sine or triangle based layer. If you want some bite, add a slightly detuned or squared mid layer on top. A useful rule here is to keep the harmonics controlled, not wild. A little saturator drive in the 2 to 6 dB range can add density. If the top gets noisy, low pass the character layer somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz. If the body feels boxy, pull a little out around 200 to 350 Hz. You're aiming for a bass that feels strong even at low monitoring levels. What to listen for here? If you can only really hear the bass when you turn it up, it's not ready. The note shape should read clearly even when the volume is low. If the sub is muddy or the mid layer is too busy, the phrase won't hit clean later on. Once the tone feels solid, build the bass like an arrangement, not like a synth exercise. Make it answer itself. Root hit, reply, gap, variation. Keep it loopable in two bars if the rhythm is dense, or four bars if it needs a little more breathing room. For darker rollers and amen-leaning material, a root-heavy approach keeps things ominous and stable. An interval-driven approach, using a fifth, octave, or a chromatic passing note, gives more forward motion and menace. So here's the choice point. If you want maximum DJ-friendly stability, stay close to the tonic. If you want a bit more bite and movement, let the phrase travel a little. Both are valid. The key is that the bass has to feel intentional. Now comes the heart of the workflow. Print it. Resample or record that bass to a new audio track in Ableton Live 12. This is where the whole idea opens up. You're freezing the good part before it gets too messy, and then you're turning audio into arrangement material. That means slicing, reordering, reverse editing, filtering, and revoicing the same sound without rebuilding the whole patch every time. When you print, make sure you capture enough length to include the tails and the space between notes. Those tails are important. They give you material for fills, transitions, and little chops later. And label the audio immediately. Something like Bass A1 Print, Bass Anchor, or Bass Move. Trust me, organization is not boring here. It's speed. Now slice the resampled audio into useful musical pieces. Don't overcomplicate it. You want the initial hit, maybe the sustained tail, maybe the noisier upper fragment, and maybe one short transitional piece. The point is to preserve the identity of the original note while giving yourself edit points. This is where resampling stops being just a sound design trick and becomes an arrangement tool. One strong bass hit can become a hook, a response, a fill, or a second drop variant. But watch the balance. If you slice everything too aggressively, the phrase stops reading as a bass line and turns into random confetti. You still want the ear to hear a home bass. What to listen for in the Rizlised version? Does the root still feel present? If the note center disappears completely, the variation has gone too far. You want danger, but you still want identity. Now make two versions on purpose. One should be weight first. The other should be movement first. The weight first version should stay close to the original. Longer notes, fewer edits, less top-end processing, maybe just a touch of saturator or EQ shaping. This is your anchor. It holds the room down. It's the version you can trust when the drums are already doing a lot. The movement-first version should feel more animated, shorter chops, tighter gaps, maybe an auto-filter sweep, a little more distortion, maybe a subtle redux for digital grit. Keep redux controlled though. Too much and the low end starts falling apart. You want urgency, not low-end damage. A strong movement chain could be your resampled bass, then auto-filter, then saturator, then EQ8, and maybe a touch of redux if the track wants some edge. Let the filter movement and the texture do the work. Don't try to widen the sub. Keep the low end centered and let the life happen in the upper harmonics and the transient layer. That's a really important point. Keep the sub and the character separate in your head. The sub defines pitch and weight. The character layer defines attitude. If one clip is trying to do both jobs too hard, the low end gets sloppy fast. Now, do not judge the bass and solo for too long. Bring in the kick, snare, and a basic break before you decide the resample is finished. In drum and bass, the bass has to live with the drums first. A sound that feels huge and solo can absolutely wreck the snare or smear the kick once the full rhythm is running. What to listen for here? Does the bass tail mask the snare crack? Does the sub steal the kick's first punch? Does the rhythm feel like it locks with the break, or does it fight it? If there's too much low-end pileup, shorten the note lengths or carve a small pocket with EQ8. Sometimes just a tiny cut in the right place is enough to make the drop breathe again. This is also where automation brings the variation to life. A moving bass clip should have a reason to exist. Maybe the auto filter opens across the bar. Maybe the saturator drive nudges up slightly into a fill. Maybe the width stays narrow on the sub, but opens on the mid layer only. That's a big one. Keep the low end mono. If the stereo information goes too low, the club translation gets weak and the mono compatibility suffers. If the bass thins out when the width opens, you've gone too low with the stereo content. Pull the widening up into the upper harmonics, or split the sound into low and high layers. That's the cleaner move. Now think in terms of phrase arc. A very effective DNB layout is to start with the weight first version for the opening bars of the drop, then bring in the movement version once the listener has learned the motif. That way the drop doesn't feel busy before it feels heavy. The ear gets a strong anchor first, then the variation feels like evolution instead of distraction. For a 16-bar drop, a smart blueprint is weight first in the first 4 bars, a response or pickup in the next 4, movement first in the middle, and then a small pullback, reset, or fake out near the end. That keeps the phrase breathing. It also sets you up for a stronger second drop, because the second drop should usually get uglier or more specific, not just louder. More character, tighter edits, a harsher filter shape, a better timed pause. That's what makes a second drop feel like progression. And don't forget this. A one beat gap before a heavy hit can feel heavier than another note. Silence creates pressure. In darker DNB, that pressure is gold. A couple of extra practical habits will make this workflow much better. Check mono early. Version your best prints with names that tell you what they do, not just how they sound. Bass anchor, bass move, bass fill, bass ugly too. That makes arrangement decisions way easier later. And if you make 3 edits in a row and none of them improve the groove, stop designing and go back to the drums. Usually the problem is phrase placement, not tone. Another useful reminder. Playing can be good. A resample that sounds almost too simple in solo may be exactly right once the drums are full and the track is moving. Don't over-edit, because you feel like the audio needs more excitement. The drums might already be carrying the motion. Your job is to make the bass feel intentional and powerful. So here's the core lesson again. Write a strong bass phrase. Keep it simple. Shape it into a solid raw tone. Print it to audio. Slice it with purpose. Make one version that anchors the drop and one that pushes the energy forward. Then check both against the drums and only keep the edits that actually improve the groove. If this works, the bass should feel like it has weight, menace, and direction. It should survive in mono. It should leave room for the snare. It should evolve without losing its identity. And it should feel like it belongs in a real DNB drop, not just in a sound design demo. Your practice challenge is simple. Build a 4-bar Amen-style bass motif with one MIDI idea, then create exactly 2 printed audio variations. One weight first. One movement first. Keep the sub mono. Use only stock Ableton devices. Then test the result with kick, snare, and break together. If you can still hear the root after resampling, if the snare still has space, and if the variation feels like a deliberate development, you're on the right track. Now go build it, print it, and make that low-end move.